Defining moments on A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends, with special guest and friend Mike Jeffs of Good Life Center and Good TV Network, formerly the Australian Christian Channel TV Network. This episode was taped live from the Sunshine Coast of Australia. Be encouraged as you hear how what seems like seemingly insignificant moments in time have been divine appointments that have led to divine destiny in the Lord. After the episode, check out our show notes on your favorite streaming platform and visit awordinseasonpodcast.org to download a free 30-day devotional that will encourage you to draw closer to the Lord. If you gleaned anything from this podcast, consider paying it forward with a gift at somebodycares.org. Now let's join our host, Doug Stringer.
Welcome to another Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends. And I've got a longtime friend that I'm actually sitting with in the Sunshine Coast of Australia. And can't wait for you to hear from him, hear his story and how we first met, and talk about some things that's been really speaking into his heart that I believe is a message for the body of Christ today and beyond. Mike Jeffs, great to be with you, my friend.
Yeah, likewise, Doug. Thanks for making the trip over the Pacific to see you back in Australia. It's been many years, and we had that COVID little interlude.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen each other for, at least 7 or 8 years. So it's great to catch up again.
Last time we got to see each other was at the National Religious Broadcasters in Nashville, I believe.
Probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm really excited to get with you again, and brings back a lot of memories. So let's just start off a little bit. How did we first meet? And I think it was 1988.
It was. I can still remember. We just planted a church here on the Sunshine Coast. That year was significant. You arrived, and it was a very small church family back then. And we did something a bit crazy. You wanted to walk up a mountain, so we went up to Mount Coolum, and we did a thing that I'd never done before, which was a glory jump. So I guess that you're famous for your glory jump. So we did one on top of Mount Coolum, overlooking the Pacific, and praying for our nation up there at the same time.
Yes, and I remember that day because I believe I was the first speaker a week after you started the church.
Yeah.
In Doug Drennan's living room, I believe.
That's right, yeah. It was very early days. I've forgotten that aspect of it, but it would have been very early in the church plant, and we were meeting in a living room, and I think we're there for about a year, and then been to where our church is now. So the thriving community center, the thriving church. So a lot's happened since 1988.
Well, I had somebody send me a picture of some of our glory jumps, and even at the 200 meter portion of walking up that mountain. And I remember it was to go up there, to hike up there with you and to pray over the region and pray for Australia. But I realized I was a lot younger back then. I don't think I'd do it as well this time. For those that don't know, but a glory jump was back in the day when I was in my 20s and 30s. The glory jump was, I would say, are you eagerly expecting the coming of the Lord? And on the count of three, if you really believe, you won't come back down. So I'd have them jump up three times, you know, 1, 2, and 3, praise the Lord. And I still have a lot of people remind me of those days, say, don't you do those anymore? I go, I think my knees can't handle what I used to handle before, But I remember it was a very special defining moment for me. I know personally, already had been working in Australia for a few years prior to that. And then that moment coming up here really had some real defining moments for me. And I've always said that the kingdom of God's built on relationships, first with God, then with one another. And that relationships do give definition to our lives. And your life and the relationships here I've met in Australia over the years really has made me who I am today in many ways. And so tell me a little bit about what happened in that process as we prayed over the region. Then God began to speak to you all through the church. But then from that, God gave you an expanded vision, not just for the community, but for the nations.
Yeah, that's right. So the vision was to reach Australia for Christ. And we felt in Australia, there's the Southern Cross constellation in the sky every evening. And so we developed the vision to reach Australia for Christ in the five stars of the Southern Cross constellation: one media, one evangelism, one church, one training, and the last one, revival. Out of all those five stars, we've made progress in all of the four, except for the last one being revival. But that's in God's hands. So we've had a training college. We started a Christian channel here in Australia, which is called Good. And we have a thriving church on the Sunshine Coast. And so it's been an exciting vision. It's 30-odd years now, but we've seen so much growth. You were there on day one, and you've come back now. You see the fruit of that all those years ago. So God's been very faithful.
Well, it's amazing how God has given you and your team such great strategy, because I remember originally kind of the theme of the Southern Cross ministry, but that went way beyond Australia and Australasia. It actually has expanded globally and the impact that you've had.
Yeah, so I guess when you're involved in media and God's in the middle of all that, you don't know where those seeds are going to be sown. So media is such a powerful force in the world today, and God can use that for his glory and for expansion of his kingdom. And he's been doing that through our little efforts here on the Sunshine Coast. And so again, we've been part of a thriving church committee, but we've also been part of a thriving media ministry.
Absolutely. I remember back then, I can't remember what year it was after we were met here in 1988 and prayed together and heard your vision and was a part of that early days. You said you received a newsletter from me one time that really spoke to you about what you're doing even today with a media network that's really touching the globe.
Yeah, well, that was God used that profoundly because I've been asking him for a confirmation. He birthed this idea of starting a Christian television presence in Australia, which there was no such thing back then, and asked the Lord for a confirmation by Friday, that particular week, because it was just weighing down on my shoulders. I wasn't sleeping and I was having all sorts of angst over this vision that he birthed and in my heart and spirit. And then on that Friday, nothing happened. I remember the mail came in. I just put it on my briefcase. And then in the afternoon, the Lord said, open that briefcase. And there was a newsletter from you in America. And it was all about redeeming media and having an impact. So it was like, wow, like neon lights. But the wording of it was a confirmation for me from God because of something he'd already laid on my heart previously to that. So God used you in a strategic way. Who knew that mail would arrive that day or that week? And I have to write the very last day, Friday that week, when I was the deadline, and there it came in that day, and God used it profoundly.
And that was before the advent of social media and emails. That was snail mail.
Everything was slow. So God's timing, as we know, is always perfect. But that on that particular occasion was very meaningful to me.
I remember when my wife Lisa and I having our wedding planned, and I remember I realized that you had already invited me to come back to the Sunshine Coast to be a part of an anniversary of the television network and the businesses you had established to help fund that network. And so we had to hurry up and get her passport changed, her name changed, and everything to get here. So we had a working time together honeymoon right here quite a few years ago. And so
you honored your commitment.
That's right. Really, God uniquely, and I've never seen it done this way before, uniquely gave you a strategy. You know, I've learned from the late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, the founder of the Christian Men's Network Worldwide, that the wisdom is in the strategy. And as God formulated the vision in you for the Australian Christian Channel then, and now it's called Good, that in that time you also established all these businesses and the proceeds, and the business didn't create just jobs, what it did, but also a biblical environment, the characteristics of the kingdom, and certain core values that really went beyond the businesses you had. And all those businesses, though, the proceeds went into helping to fund the television network.
Yeah, it was a unique model, and that's how God birthed it. So we had this cell phone business in Australia, and it was all about advancing his kingdom through business, specifically through using the profits of that business to fund the Australian Christian Channel, or Good as we now know it. It's been doing that for the last 30-odd years. We're at a transition point now because that business shut down last year. But it's an amazing kingdom model where God is using your business or kingdom business to advance his purposes and his kingdom, and that's what we've done for 30 years now.
This is long before a lot of the books came out and people talking about kings and priests and marketplace ministry and all these things. It was already in you to do, but it started with a strategy and a burning passion. Southern Cross Ministries, the television channel, media, music, all these things. Did you ever have even the inkling that it was going to become so effective and globally impacting?
No. Back then, it was almost like it was a bit overwhelming, the size of the vision. But we serve a big God, don't we? And nothing's impossible for God, as his word reminds. So I guess he has proved his faithfulness to us time and time and time again. But I guess when God bursts a vision in your heart, he then reveals a strategy, and that revelation comes through various ways. Your newsletter back then was one of those ways as a confirmation. But so often just had to just pause, take a breath and say, okay, God, what's the next step? How do you want to do this? And so we learned along the way. It was a great kingdom apprenticeship too. And so the fruit of all that began way back then and is producing a harvest of souls now.
You know, there's a term called synchronicity, and I began to call it the synchronicity of God. And I don't mean synchronism, but I'm talking about how seemingly unrelated pieces actually are interconnected. And God had a way of putting pieces together. To step back a moment, I remember in the mid-1980s, 1984, I believe, 83, there was a guy named Andrew Mary, who was single, traveling on a one-year holiday from Aussie. He came through Houston, had his passport and his money stolen, was a hitchhiking at the time I picked him up and had to stay with me for nearly 7 weeks. But in that journey, I was able to introduce him to the Lord and changed his life. And they ended up marrying his wife, Lynette, you know, who's also on a one-year holiday from New Zealand, and end up back in Geelong area, Bellarmine Peninsula. So people began to say, what happened to you? You're not the same person we knew before. He was a triathlete and a coach. And he said, well, this Japanese-American picked me up hitchhiking in Houston, Texas. And so they began to say, well, who is this Japanese-American? And so I began to get invited to come speak in various churches and denominations and Youth for Christ and in the Bellarmine Peninsula area. And that's got a whole nother story of how many people's lives were impacted by speaking at Geelong University and schools and middle schools and high schools. And through that process, God began to do some interesting things in that region. And that's how we got connected, because another friend of ours, the Hardy brothers, had an automobile business in Geelong. They were talking to you and Doug Drennan and said, well, we want to have Doug come up here. And that's how I ended up here in the Sunshine Coast in 1988.
Yeah, it's a small world. Andrew now lives on the Sunshine Coast.
That's right. That's right. That's
and we work together both at church and in Compassion, where we've both worked and served in the ministry of Compassion. So it's a small world, but only God could do that, couldn't he? There's no such thing as coincidence.
That's right. That's another thing. You're on the board of Compassion International and also very connected with Compassion Australia, which is a part of Compassion International. And so you've had yourself so spread in so many ways, but yet it's all really focused really on the same passion in your heart that birthed the vision of the ministry that you have out of the television network, the businesses. Everything had the common focus and purpose in what you're doing in all these other adventures.
Yeah, advancing the kingdom of God and seeing people come to know Jesus. I mean, that's what we should all be doing. And I guess that's what motivates us to get out of bed each morning. There's a higher purpose, a higher calling on your life. And so what are you doing each day to fulfill that purpose and that calling?
You know, early on, we talked about defining moments, and you and I were talking about that the other day. And God's really kind of given you a message in that too, because we've been talking really in just chatting here about defining moments, because a lot of them were defining moments for each of us. And still today, God never stops giving us those defining moments, relationships, times, and moments that we have to step into if we're obedient to God. So tell us a little bit about what God's been developing in you about this whole concept of defining moments.
Yeah, and I think if you look at your life retrospectively, you'll recognize that there were defining moments that changed the course of your life. You just shared one about Andrew when you picked him up hitchhiking. That's a defining moment for him and changed his life completely.
And for me.
Yeah, totally. And so I was reflecting on that just after my father's death, actually. It was just after his funeral. And I recognized the season in his life and the decisions he made, the impact on me and my generation and my family. And it's almost, as I was reflecting on that, I had this time with the Lord where he just gave me what I call a defining moment equation, if there is such a thing, which was there are defining seasons in life, and within those defining seasons, there are defining moments, which invariably require a defining decision to be made, and that decision defines your destiny. So I'd call it a defining moment equation. But when you look back over your life, and anybody listening right now, you can reflect on those seasons in your life. There was a moment where you had to make a decision, and that determines where you are today and your destiny.
So we just have to say yes to God to step into those moments, because no one's born a champion or born a hero or great. We step into moments, don't we? And I remember for me, another defining moment was being in the Bellarmine Peninsula one time in the mid-1980s before I came up here to Sunshine Coast. And I remember the Lord had been really moving in a powerful way and just really exciting to see as a young man, seeing all that God was doing, the Uniting Church, the Youth for Christ, Church of Christ, Baptist Church, you know, the Assemblies of God, the Apostolic Church, so many churches that were working together.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to be a small part of bringing some cohesion in that process. I was just learning as I went. But I remember in the middle of this great moves of God, and God was doing some significant things, it was just before sunrise, and I was on a cliff over by in the Bellarmine Peninsula, standing. The wind was blowing, the waves were coming up, and I remember standing there just looking out, and the sun hadn't fully risen yet, and I kept hearing this voice in my head says, "Who cares? You know, is it even worth it? Why don't you just jump?" I'm thinking, where did that come from? I found out later there were people actually praying for me at that moment, because in the midst of the greatest things that God could be doing in our lives, and we begin to have these doubts and say, "Who cares? You know, is it even worth it? Why don't you just jump?" And I remember it right at that moment when I was feeling this pressure and this tension, the sun began to come up. It was a new day dawning. And I began to see the sun rise and began to think about how the Lord, the brightness of the Esso and the Son of God, and that each day is a new day dawning for us. And it's walking in simple obedience with Him, which is the highest form of worship. Because the first time the word worship is ever mentioned in Scripture, the point of first reference, is not in the context of singing or music. That's the external expression of what's happening inwardly. The first time the word worship is ever used in Scripture is in the context of obedience to God. So we become the living worshipers who step into moments of saying yes to God.
Yeah, that's and you have to make a decision. There's a decision then, and we keep on making those decisions, but they define our destiny and our future and determine our paths. And I've also discovered that there are times where you make the wrong decision, but that's where he's a God of love and grace.
Absolutely.
And He's a redeeming God. So He'll redeem those decisions in your life. So there might be some people sitting now who feel like they've made that wrong decision, but don't worry about it. God's a redemptive God, and He can redeem your situation and circumstance and define your future in a way that you would never anticipate. So don't be concerned about your failures.
That's a great point, Mike, because when I think about the successes of your life as a businessman, as well as in the passion of ministry and to get the gospel out around the globe, and your faithfulness is just walking that out. Obviously, the Lord's gifted you with the wisdom and the strategy and the understanding of business, but also in making sure there had a purpose in those successes. There was a time a few years ago when we were meeting together, and you said the Lord just spoke to you to live off of 10% and give away 90%. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So my wife literally took that serious. I think it was 15 years ago. Yeah. We were having dinner with you and Viv, and she goes, "Doug, I want to pray that too." I said, "We have to start with what we have, you know," and so we've worked towards that.
That's right. It didn't happen overnight.
Exactly.
It's a process, but there's that hard commitment to making, recognizing that everything you have and own is not yours, it's His.
Exactly.
So how can you invest that into the kingdom of God and see it multiply and flourish? So it didn't happen overnight, but it's something we've adhered to in our lives.
So we look at your life, and so all of us, and I like to ask this of leaders who people see us as very successful, be it in vocational ministry or a professional athlete or business person or ministry leader, like social media, you only see the good things. But there are moments we go through unexpected detours. And as you know, back in 2015, I had stage 4 B-cell lymphoma, 80% aggressive. It was an unexpected detour. And yet, keeping my eyes focused on God's greater purpose has helped me to walk through those moments. As a person in business, marketplace, as well as ministry successes, is there something that you remember where you could have quit, that you could have said, "Is it worth it?" Yeah. But you had to say, make that determination to get past that unexpected detour?
Yeah. In leadership, it's what I call the loneliness of leadership, where at times when you go to bed at night, it's just you and God and your thoughts, and what do you do with those thoughts that really matter when you get up the next morning. But there's a what I've learned over the years is this little saying that if anybody that knows me will, I've always known for this saying. It's called, "The test is not the test. How you respond to the test, that's the test." And how do you respond to the test? As Jesus would, which was always in the opposite spirit. When someone attacks you or does the wrong thing by you, you don't react accordingly. You pause, and what I've learned is to pray a prayer of blessing upon that person. That's the opposite spirit, and that's the test. So you can fail or succeed in that test by applying that principle. The test is not the test. How you respond to the test is the test. And that's always invariably praying a blessing upon someone who may be offended you, or false accusation, or business situation, deal gone, could be anything. But to do that requires a lot of fortitude. You can't do it lightly. You have to do it seriously. So it's something between you and God. To forgive someone and to pray a blessing upon them is quite a significant thing. But by doing that, that allows God to do his work behind the scenes that you won't even see. And I've had case after situation after situation where I've gone through that process, prayed a prayer of blessing over a situation or circumstance, and it's all worked out amazingly. Only God could have brought about those outcomes. But it's because of that opposite spirit approach.
No, it's interesting. Here we're across the pond.
Yep.
I live in Texas. You live on the Sunshine Coast of Australia. And yet those same principles, maybe it's like an old school thinking, that living by faith and old school thinking, but it was a kingdom vision to see something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
And even in our own family, we talk about always taking the high road.
Mm-hmm.
Even with people who use us, and my wife used to say, Doug, you know that they're using you, right? I said, well, honey, if they're using me and I know they're using me, they're not really using me. I'm giving it
away.
That's
right, yeah.
That way, it's not a vexation in my heart. I release it out of my spirit.
Yeah.
I bless them and I bless out, move on. But the other is coming with an opposite spirit. That is such a good point, Mike, because I think we all come through those moments, not just once or twice, multiple times in life. We have to come with an opposite spirit.
Yeah. And so the world will react in a worldly way, in a carnal way. We have to react in a godly way, and that's through the opposite spirit. And when you pray that prayer of blessing over a personal or a situational circumstance, it's amazing what God can do. He will do the miracle in those moments.
We all go through change and transitions. Transitions are never easy. Change is never easy, but it's a necessity of life. And we come to moments where we have to really hear from God again. Here you are walking in the pinnacle of success, in ministry, in the marketplace, and then you had to go, the pressures of life and COVID brings transition. Yeah. The church is still flourishing now after COVID, and now you're actually planning other churches, and you're part of seeing the television network expand to another level and creativity. But as we do that, because change isn't easy and transition is never easy, but it's a necessity of life, tell us a little bit about what in the pressures of the last few years and seeing God's successes and testimonies that come from that. What is God doing with you now, and what's happening with what's called the Australian Christian Channel, and now what God's doing? Tell a little bit about what God's put in your heart to see happen.
I guess this all, the transition period talking about, happened through COVID. Mm-hmm. It sort of turned the world upside down, and it turned our world upside down because as a result of that, our we had to exit our business last year, but that left a gap to fund the channel. But during COVID, we did the rebrand from Australian Christian Channel, ACCTV, to Good. And that's been an outstanding success. It really has been amazing to see how God's used that rebrand. And it's doing good things in people's lives. And we're getting testimonies all the time of people discovering Jesus through our media ministry. But right now, we're in that faith gap. And so the test is not the test. How do you respond to that test? So you just... For me personally, just be grateful, be thankful for all that God has done. He's been faithful time and time and time again. So He's not a God that takes you up the creek and leaves you there without a paddle. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He'll always provide. Mm-hmm. And our prayer right from the very onset of this vision, way back in 1988 when we first met, was, Father, this vision is too big for me to comprehend. So can I just say it's your vision. So can I just ask that you will bring the people and the resources together to fulfill that vision? He's done that faithfully for 30-odd years. Mm-hmm. And so my faith tells me he will continue to do that in the future as well.
That's always been a good reminder for me, because you've always been consistent in that way. And every time we've talked, every time we've met over the years, no matter what challenges have come, you've always been a great leader that way, by leading by example, reminding people like me and others that keep your vision of destination, keep your vision of hope, not what you're going through.
Yeah.
And that has been very consistent of you and your team and your family. And so I thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, sometimes when you go to bed at night, you have other thoughts.
Right, exactly.
but I always go to bed at night being grateful and thankful. That's why I finish every day by just being thankful and grateful.
Well, I think that's what's so key, isn't it, in times of difficulty is like Jehoshaphat, worship is warfare.
Yep.
And if we learn to appreciate, have gratitude and thankfulness in the midst of what we're going through, God goes to battle for us.
Yep. And Jehoshaphat was, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are fixed on you.
Yes.
And that's being thankful and with a thankful heart and a grateful heart.
So how can people get more involved and find out more about what you're doing with Good and the network? And
yeah, just go to our website, watchgood.com.
Watchgood.com.
It's all there on the website and you can see it. Unfortunately, with licensing, not all the content can be broadcast globally. Mm-hmm. So, but in the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, it's a full service. But I guess our faith prayer at this moment and belief is that God will open the doors internationally to see Good go globally. Wow. And that's what we're believing for. And we're working towards that in faith.
Wow. Well, before we conclude our podcast, because there's so much we could talk about, tell a little bit about the concept of even Good Life Center, because it's not your typical church. It really belongs to the community. And instead of, you know, the old saying is, we're always trying to get people to come to church rather than going to the community. And so what's happening is the community is actually coming to Good Life. At the same time, it is engaging them with the atmosphere of the presence of God through private intercession and prayer and creating an atmosphere for people to come to.
Yeah. So that goes back to the original vision, the five stars. One of those stars was church planting and establishing a church on a different model. Again, a bit like the Office of Spirit. So we determined way back then, God gave us a strategy to establish a community center, which is, again, it's a thriving community center today. And there are literally hundreds of people coming through the doors every day. And it just so happens on Sunday, we convert the basketball stadium into church. So the center is used every day of the week and it becomes a home. It's a place where people call home and it's a place where people meet and congregate and form friendships and relationships. But it's also got a gym. It's all got a swimming pool and people get fit at the same time. But they also come and find Jesus on a Sunday and through those relationships that are forged through the center.
Yeah, we talked about that too, that a lot of churches build these beautiful edifices that they meet 2 days a week. But walking through Good Life Center, there's every room is converted from on Sundays for Sunday school for the church, but every room is utilized every single day for the community to come. You have a cafe with lunch and breakfast and coffee shop, and you have a full gym. I'm a fitness buff. This isn't like a hotel gym. This is a full fitness center.
Yeah, so people get fit physically, but we want them to see the fit spiritually as well. But the whole center is designed about building community, you know, bridging the gap in that community. Because in the world today, particularly in the Western world, there's a huge gap between the church and the unchurched. How do you bridge that gap? And the Good Life model is our attempt to do just that.
Well, you know, I was telling you earlier that it's not just an attempt, because the reality is you and your team have a track record of God doing these things that start out with a vision. And many people have visions, which is a wishful vision, but they don't step into those moments to make it happen, those defining moments. And yet you walked it through and being intentional, and you have now seen God move, not just in the community here throughout the Sunshine Coast, but literally a spread. You guys introduced the Alpha program nationwide, had prayer lines. You've had so many different initiatives that have impacted hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people now in these last decades.
Well, I hope it's millions.
So we're talking about how many people have been impacted because of simple obedience to God that has become the highest form of worship.
Which invariably, always when you have those defining moments, requires a step of faith and decision. So when you make that decision, you've got to step out in faith. So as the word reminds us, faith without works is dead. So you got to put your faith into action. And so by God's grace, we've done that. Even though when I look back over the course of those 30 odd years, our little mustard seed of faith was all we had, but God's multiplied that abundantly over the years.
You know, I was on the board, and we've talked about this many years ago, for the organization put out all the transformation documentaries from Amalonga, Guatemala, Cali, Colombia, Fiji, Uganda. But the reality is, and we use the term journey to community transformation, but the reality is you were doing it before it became cool. So it's community transformation, impacting community. I use a term called pastoring the region or pastoring a city. And I ask many pastors, I said, how many are you pastoring? And they'll tell me 500, 5,000, 20,000. I said, well, that's how many you're stewarding in your congregation, but how many live in the region? You can't reach them all by yourself. So let's co-pastor the region together. And you have been exemplifying that all these years through Good Life, through Southern Cross Ministries, through Australian Christian Channel, now Good TV. Now, you've been able to really have a concept of how can we work together. You know, I always say that with one fishing pole, you catch a fish, but a mended net together, cast by the Lord together, we can do a whole lot more together. And your whole vision is really about that net that works, that mending of the net and using marketplace, what some call the seven spheres or seven mountains of the culture. You've integrated all those over the years before it became a terminology.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, and I've read some of those books too. But that was just how God revealed the strategy to us back then. And yes, it was God's revelation. And you're obedient to the call of God in your life and taking those steps of faith to step into that destiny that we talked about at the time. Sometimes it was pretty scary because there were big steps of faith we had to take. But that's where again, God has been so faithful and given us the model, which is both in the media and in the church world, is very unique. But we're just seeing the fruit of that and seeing how impacting it can be when you, follow the Spirit and do what he's leading you to do. I mean, we all have a unique calling in our life. Not everybody needs to have a church like we've got, right, or not everybody has a media platform like we've got. But so you've just got to operate, I guess, in the Spirit and be sensitive to his leading and calling upon your life and do what he's called you to do, not what he's called someone else to do.
Right. I could go on and on with you, but I'm going to have to, you know, this is a Word in Season with Doug Stringer Friends podcast, but I'm going to have to schedule a time when I'm back in Texas and work out our time frame. And I'd like you to actually be on one of our Transforming Leadership Zoom calls, okay, so I can actually introduce you live as you share some of these principles and what God is doing to many other leaders, not just in the States, but in the UK and other places that watch or come in live and some watch afterwards. And do that as a video kind of live Zoom call and podcast. You have a lot of key principles that, again, not by just theory, but actually through crucibles of experience, through a track record that I think a lot of people would love to hear and I think need to hear and to find out more about what you are doing in this next season when most people are thinking about retirement.
Refinement.
Refirement, that's right. Instead of retirement, it's refirement. You gave me that term earlier. So from not retirement, but refirement. And I really sense that this is where a lot of us are. I think a lot of other leaders need to hear that encouragement from a person who's not just talking about it, but actually has lived through it, has succeeded, has gone through difficulties and challenges and many defining moments. But because of that, you have a landmark and a history of God's faithfulness to bring it to the context of today to help us move into our future. So would you take a moment to just pray for all those that are listening to the podcast and those will be listening later?
Father, we thank you for everyone who's listening out there on this podcast right now. And I thank you that you have a plan and a vision and a destiny for each and every one. And I pray that those defining moments that they find themselves in, that you'll lead them and guide them in the decision they should make. And that will define their destiny. And I also pray, Father, that you will bless the work of their hands so that they can, in a sense, achieve the things that you want them to achieve. But more importantly, see people come to know Jesus and advancing your purposes and kingdom across the globe. So I thank you for everyone that's listening. I thank you for Doug and his ministry over the years and the impact that's had. And I thank you for the fact that you're using technology just like this to see people come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And for that, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friend.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends, and ask you to prayerfully consider supporting the ministry at somebodycares.org or by texting your donation amount to 805-422-7348. Please join us again for A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends.